size of the world. 196 million square miles. If I covered 100 square miles an hour, every hour for the rest of my life, I'd still only see half of it. This is the left nostril of my brother Reed. It squeaks all night long. These are the freezing cold feet of my little brother, Dewey. This is my oldest brother, Francis. He's the one I really like, so of course, he got sent to military school. My name is Malcolm. You want to know what the best thing about childhood is? At some point, it stops.
Yes, no, maybe.
They're sending an unmanned probe to Venus and letting a bunch of school children name it. Well, that's gonna end badly.
These clippers are dull already. Honestly, Hal, you're like a monkey.
They do this every month. He has sensitive skin. The hair gets itchy under his clothes.
Yeah, I seriously think it's a shame to just dump this in the trash. Maybe birds would like to make nests with it, or... I don't know, maybe you boys could use it for school projects. Arms up.
Dude.
Malcolm, you come right home from school today. I made a play date for you with Stevie Conarbin, and you have to take a bath.
What? Mom, no! Malcolm has a play date.
Shut up, Reese!
Talking with Brian Cranston from the great show Malcolm in the Middle, which airs on Sundays at 8:30 on Fox. And a great time slot you got there, too.
Oh, boy. We're very lucky. Right after The Simpsons and before X-Files. I mean, that kind of sandwich I'll eat any day.
It's a great show, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of a kind of a twisted Wonder Years.
Yeah. Well, it's like Wonder Years on its side. You know, if Fox did Wonder Years, this is what it would be. And it's a great show. We don't have any laugh track. If you think something's funny, you decide if you want to laugh or not. And often we don't go for the joke. We just kind of veer off into something else. So you can't get into the pattern, the normal sitcom pattern of set up joke. We do something different, so it's really fun.
Well, the joke is there. I mean, you don't even have to say it. It's there. In the episode I saw, there's a scene where your wife is shaving your entire body. You're standing there naked reading the paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make that sound like that's abnormal. I mean, yeah. Who? Okay, yeah, I'm the only guy with a hairy back who needs to be shaved. Come on.
Martin.
I'm sure there's so many people out there who have their back shaved.
Well, I'm sure that there are not that many, though, that have their entire body shaved in front of the children at breakfast.
You know, what's funny is after we shot that scene, about three different crew members came up to me. I thought it was just a funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I remember my grandfather being shaved by my grandmother about once a month.
You're kidding.
I remember my Aunt Sylvia shaving my uncle. Da, 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 and it went on and on. And I thought, oh, my God.
Well, I thought it was pretty strange and pretty funny.
It is strange, isn't it?
And there's another scene where your wife on the show is running around with no top on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of an unusual family. The kids are always whacking each other around. That's a pretty much normal thing. And Malcolm, of course, was just diagnosed as being a genius.
Yes. Diagnosed the proper way to...
Well, in this case, probably. They said he has an IQ of 165.
Yeah.
It's a really funny show. Tell me a little bit about the cast. One of the cast members, Eric Pierce Sullivan, who plays Dewey on the show, is actually from around here.
Yes, that's right. He not only that, but I hope your listeners will go out and see Cider House Rules, because he has a very important role in Cider House Rules as a boy named Fuzzy. And he does a terrific job in it, and very sweetly done. And he's my youngest son. Yeah, he's great. It's funny, like, being a parent myself and playing a father on a show, it's easy to take on that role. And they're kids, and they're used to listening to do, you know, what their parents tell them to do, and... So we, in between takes, I'm like, hey, come on, sit down. Don't eat that food. We're ready. We're going to shoot with that. Come on, boys, come on. Sit. No, don't throw that. No, you know, and it's a little bit of a controlled chaos.
Is it a family situation there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely. You know, the thing is that you watch this show and you go, okay, I can certainly see where people would question our methods of doing things and how we react in certain situations. But the thing that I love the best about Malcolm in the Middle is that the core of the show is based in love. You really feel that we love each other.
Mm.
Now, how we show that is you know, up for grabs.
Now, tell us a little bit about how this show got together, you know, came together. I know that it was produced by some of the folks behind Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get involved? How did the cast, did they have an open casting, or did they kind of aim these roles toward certain people?
Well, the real voice of the show, of Malcolm in the Middle, is Linwood Boomer. And with that name, you either become a comic writer or a fighter. And he has this clear image of what he wants, and every script goes through him. He's our executive producer, and it's his show. He was a former actor. He was played a blind guy on Little House on the Prairie. Hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So he has that background. He was also one of the executive producers of Third Rock, and so he's got the experience on both sides. Excuse me. And how all actors get roles is that your agents, you know, send you out on these auditions, and I just was one of the other, you know, 70 or 100 other actors who were vying for this one role, and for some reason, I don't know, I know I'm lucky, but they liked what I did, and, you know, I saw it, and the role of the mother playing beautifully by Jane Kaczmarek is so bombastic and aggressive and active that I thought, well, the way to go with Hal, the father, is to not fight that, but to contrast that,
mm-hmm.
to be more introverted and somewhat obtuse at times. And so that seemed to work. And
it does work. It's I can see this show being a long-term, you know, married with children type, 10-year type show.
Oh, it'd be great. The only thing is that Malcolm really is 14 years old.
Mm.
He's not the 10-year-old that he plays. He's a small kid, but he's a great kid. So I've been talking to him. He says, you know, what happens if, you know, my voice changes and I start to grow facial hair and stuff like that? And I said, well, Frankie Muniz, who plays him, I said, there is a very revered person in history, in theatrical history, called the castrati. And I think we should talk about that. So he didn't quite know what that was at that time.
Yeah, I'm sure he does now, and it's probably a real thrill with you.
Yeah. We'll keep you young.
What a nice dad you are. Unbelievable.
Hey, do it for the show. Come on.
The other interesting character I found on the show was that school bully. But, of course, they kind of brought him down to size quickly, though. There's a lot of possibilities, uh-huh. though, at school with what's going on with Malcolm in terms of being in the special smart class now.
Right.
Because I remember experiences with people in those classes myself.
Were you in those classes?
I was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you struggle? See, Malcolm struggles to try to be normal, what he deems as a normal kid.
Well, you know something? It's interesting to note that the same thing applies now as it did 30 years ago. And that is, if you're smart, you don't really want to feel that smart.
Right.
You want to kind of sublimate that and mix in with everybody, because no one likes anybody that stands out.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad.
Right.
So I think that Malcolm is finding that right now himself.
Yeah. And that's the dilemma that each show has, is that he is constantly struggling with his intelligence, but his maturity level isn't where his intelligence level is, you know. And so he's battling that the whole time, which is, you know, can lend itself to a lot of comic possibilities.
Exactly. We're talking to Bryan Cranston, the star of the hilarious new Fox comedy Malcolm in the Middle, Sunday nights at 8:30 here on Fox. And it's a great show. And I remember you, as soon as I saw you on the screen, boom, in my mind came Dr. Tim Watley, the dentist,
really?
On Jerry Seinfeld show.
Yeah.
That was a fun role.
Oh, man. It's so much fun. You know, on television, whoever the star is sets the tone for the rest of the cast and the crew as to what their experience is going to be for the duration of the show. It's truly that way. And Jerry was one who loves to laugh and loves to have a good time, although you get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mood on the set was up and light and laughs, and it was just a great time. And in fact, the biggest problem they had was a fun one, in that trying to keep Jerry from laughing. There were several times when he would just break up time after time, and we'd have to redo the takes, you know. But yeah. I mean, that's a fun reason for messing up.
That was a fun character, that Dennis too.
Tim Whatley started out as just, you know, a one-time thing, and then they found different reasons why they could use a dentist on the show, I suppose. And so I kept coming back, and I loved it. I had a great time. In fact, I'm in the trivia, the Seinfeld trivia question, who was the regifter? And that was Tim Whatley.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yes, he used to take all the old gifts and send them back out again.
Yes.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, that was one of the features in one of the shows about, there was a party scene. Uh-huh. There was a whole, it was all based around a party, and you were part of that show.
Right.
Integral part of that show, as a matter of fact.
Well, thanks.
I remember that. But now you've been on a ton of shows, and you've also done a lot of movies. Like, you were in Saving Private Ryan, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I played a one-armed colonel in the State Department after the D-Day bloodbath scenes, which were just horrendous. Stephen felt the audience needed to settle down a bit. And certainly, we go back to the State Department, where we discover the Ryan boys have been killed in various parts of the world, and I play a one-armed colonel who receives this initial information, then we take it to the general, and then the plot is set for Tom Hanks to go rescue him. And I said that I would give my arm to work with Steven Spielberg, but I didn't know he was going to hold me to it. But like a lizard, it grew back, so I'm grateful for that.
Tell me a little bit about the kids on the cast, for all the folks out there who are going to be watching on Sunday nights at 8:30. Want to get a little bit to know these kids.
Sure.
What are they like?
Great kids. I mean, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but to find out that, they're a demanding Hollywood kid. But no, I mean, we went through 13 episodes of Malcolm in the Middle and had a great time. Just had a great time. Eric, as we talked, is a great young actor from the Boston area, and just a sweet kid, very inquisitive. Whenever he hears a word, he'll ask what it means, you know, mm-hmm. And he's just a sweet kid. I love him.
How old is he?
I think he's 8. I think he's yeah. playing his age, or maybe he's a little older than that. But and then Frankie Muniz is from the New Jersey area, who plays the title role of Malcolm. And this kid is going to really be something. I mean, not just he pops out of the screen. He's got those blue eyes, but he's also there's an innocence to him and a naivete with it that is just so embracing that. I think, you know, as I said, he's the kind that the girls will eventually want to marry. The girls who will want to date Justin Burfield, who plays Reese, who's the second oldest.
Right.
And he's another great kid, and he's actually an acting veteran. He was on Unhappily Ever After.
Right, that's right, yeah.
He was on Unhappily Ever After for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And is growing up quickly in Hollywood, but surprisingly, his ego is very well in check, and just really a nice kid.
You know, I see potential for the older brother who they've sent to military school,
right.
Christopher Masterson.
Right.
He looks like there's a lot of possibilities around his character as well.
Well, you know, actually, to be honest, that character was only intended to be in the first episode and reoccurring, and he would come back from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved him so much, and Chris does such a great job with the role of Francis that they quickly signed him as a series regular. And he is, you know, I mean, already he's getting, you know, interest from teen magazines and that sort of thing. His older brother is a series regular on That 70s Show.
Oh.
I don't know what his first name is.
We've had that's right. As a matter of fact, we had him on the show.
Did you?
Yes, we had someone named Masterson on the show.
Right.
That's
and
right.
And he's like the guy with the curly hair and the glasses.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And he's a terrific actor, so.
Huh. That's kind of cool. It's amazing the small community in Hollywood where these kids and people get cast. Mm-hmm. You get to know someone from this guy knows that one, and
right.
And it gets around.
It is.
Do you think that that being in the Seinfeld episode might have helped you get this thing? Because I'm thinking about maybe the fact that you were so recognizable from that role that maybe it might have helped in terms of sticking out in front of Linwood Boomer.
It's possible, yeah. I have that face now where I've been around for 22 years and do a lot of work, but I'm not a star. But people look at me in the street, and they look at me as if they know me, and they nod, and they smile, and they point. But then when you talk to these people, they think, you deliver my mail, right? Is that, you know, did you add the addition on my house, or we go to high school together? They don't really know where, and I sort of like that anonymity. You know, they have that kind of familiarity, but not quite.
Well, in my mind, you lost your anonymity with the Dr. Whatley, but the other thing is that I saw you in was the From the Earth to the Moon, where you played Buzz Aldrin, who is actually a friend of mine.
Oh, is that right? Buzz is great.
Buzz has been on the show a number of times, and we got together before. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy, extremely bright. I tell you, I was so intimidated playing him. And, you know, when you're playing someone like Tim Whatley, you can create whatever you want. But when you're playing Buzz Aldrin in From the Earth to the Moon, you have this unbelievable sense of responsibility to be as accurate and authentic as possible. And he was very gracious in watching my portrayal and supportive, and he's just a great guy and extremely bright, and I love talking with him, and he loves talking about space, and I became kind of like this junior space junkie, you know, talking about this when I was shooting the role.
Mm. Now, you've worked now with Tom Hanks a few times, because you also did That Thing You Do as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, Tom is, you know, when people ask me what Tom Hanks is really like, and I guess that the only description I could think of really is that he is just as you hoped he would be. Hmm. He's that kind of guy. He's gracious and relaxed and fun, and he's just a terrific guy, and he's been a very good friend of mine, and he's also doing a production for HBO coming up, shooting this year, called Band of Brothers, another miniseries, a 12-episode miniseries that he's looking for a role for me to do. So he's been a very big champion of mine as well. And
it's always nice to have a guy like that as your champion.
Oh, it's great.
he's a good guy. If you're going to have a champion, he's a good one to have.
Yeah.
You know? Can't get much better than that.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting to note what people know you as. You're mentioning that people recognize you and think that you may be the mailman or something, and I recognized you right away from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, I just got an email here from someone from Minnesota who says that they recognize you right away from a show called Loving.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I've never seen. I guess it's a daytime series?
It was a daytime series that I did. It's 83.
Really?
When I was a little bit of brawn and no brain. Yeah, that was 83 and 84 and into 85 a little bit. Yeah, it was a daytime series for ABC that I shot in New York. I played a college professor.
Huh.
I was 25 years old, and I was playing a full college professor, and I thought, wow, this is a little bit of a stretch. And I was a good guy, and in the soap world, you're either good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mixing, there's no, you know, crossing, but I had a good time. I really did.
Wow. Well, you're obviously having a good time with Malcolm in the Middle. Bryan Cranston plays the dad, Hal, on the show, and don't miss it. It's a funny, and really good show, good quality show. It starts at 8:30 on Sundays and on Fox TV. Make sure you're there this Sunday to check it out.
Great.
Bryan, thanks so much for coming on.
Mark, thank you. Anytime.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Bryan Cranston.